Okay, we're going to start Halacha Vavin Zayin today. Kof Chaf Halacha Vavin Zayin. It's going to be part one. We're going to talk about two times about the following question. We saw in the very beginning, we talked about which materials need Tefillas Kelim, which ones don't. So, in short, a metal and glass need Tefillas Kelim, and everything else doesn't. And we talked about there, what happens if you have a mixture of something, like if you have carbon steel. So it's made out of a lot of iron and a little bit of carbon. Carbon doesn't need fuel and iron does. What are the examples like that? If you have a material that's made out of many things, so we said over there, you follow the roif, okay, and you say if it's you know, that's like 97%, whatever it is, iron and 3% carbon, it's high in fuel.
Well, that's one material, which is molded.
That's right. Right, that's what, that was halacha alf we spoke about over there. Over here, halacha vav and zayin, we're going to talk about not where it's made into one material, but where there's two distinct layers. Okay, and one layer is chayav in tefillas kelim, one layer is not chayav in tefillas kelim. Okay, that was over there, was they were made into one new material. So you see, the new material, we judge it based on what it's made out of. The bulk of it is made out of iron, chayav in tefillas, that's chayav in tefillas. The other way, not chayav in tefillas. Here we're going to talk about things that have two distinct layers. Okay, and the metal, in our case, a lot of cases, it's going to be the plastic. The metal and the plastic are going to be two distinct layers. We're going to talk about whether the chayav in tefillas or not chayav in tefillas. Today we're going to talk about two parts of that question. One little bit has to do with Keurigs, and the rest is with these disposable spice grinders. And Mir Tishim, next time, we'll talk about China and Teflon-coated pans. Okay? Okay. Well, all those examples, I'll just mention the examples for you now. Those are all examples where the material that's high in tefillah and the material that's not high in tefillah are in separate layers. They're not mixed together. They're separate layers. Okay? So let's read the Mechaber. The Rambam also. Okay. The Mechaber is like this. Says, this means you have a wooden barrel, and the staves are made out of wood, but the bands that hold the barrel are made out of metal, exactly like they do nowadays. Okay, it's wooden staves, but the wooden pieces would of course would fall right apart if not that the fact that were these rings of iron that were holding it on. That they hold it in place in a torn tefillah that doesn't need to be tabled. Doesn't need tefillah because the simple reading is doesn't need tefillah because we saw in the halachas beforehand, right beforehand was the din is that it has to touch the food. Okay, the thing that's chayav in tefillah has to touch the food. The metal would be what's chayav in tefillah. The metal is not touching the food. The metal is on the outside of the barrel, so it's not chayav in tefillah. That's what Mechaber says. Halacha zayin. Koresh l'kesef, mechuber b'kliyetz. If you have a silver cup that's attached to a wooden kli, which is to say it's surrounded and held into like in a frame of like a wooden kli, tzarech tefillah, that doesn't need tefillah, okay? So it seems to be the opposite of halacha vav. In halacha vav, the wood was on the inside, the metal was on the outside, not chayav in tefillah. And halacha zayin is, the metal's on the inside, and the wood is on the outside, that is chayav in tefillah, the metal is the part that touches the wood, then it's chayav in tefillah, okay? So it's sort of like a flow from the din that was right beforehand, about the things that have to be able to touch the food. Okay.
Is there any shayla about how to tefillah, or is there a problem tefillah, because you got these parts that are not chayav in.
So
do we look at it if the whole thing is chayav in tefillah, or do we say just the...
Okay. We're going to talk about that, but not today. Okay. The short answer is, yes, the whole thing is chayav in tefillah. But we'll talk about that a different time. That's not for today. Okay. The chayin, that's actually very negated to keurigs. We're going to talk about that, but not today's keurig part, a different day. Okay. The Rambam says, the chayin, rechayim shel pilpulin, if you have a pepper mill, shebesoicha eitz, inside the wood, I mean, the wood is the holder, or the bowl, sort of the thing that it sits in, yesh barzel kavur shetechnabay, it has a metal grinding, the piece that does the actual grinding is metal, is steel, it's iron, tzarech tefillah, you have to tie that thing, because here again, the metal part is touching the food. Okay, I'm going to read a few more cases, not only get to today, but b'chein, ha-mishpachosh mishpachos shel b'dachav shel barzel, I think that means a spout, it's mishpach as you pour with it, of that are made of iron. Oh yeah, barzel shabarzel, or iron spigots. V'shar matches kulin shvichim tefillah. They all need tefillah. Again, they all touch the food. They need tefillah. Now the Mechaber says, the Rambam says, the dafke she'ikur hakli hu shamatches. This is only true if the kli itself is really made out of metal. Avam ikar kli hu shel'etz. It's made out of a material that doesn't need tefillah. Rock shema'ad barzel kavul boy. There's a drop of metal attached to it. And that metal, as we're going to see, is not necessary for what you're doing. You don't need the metal to do this for the kli to function. You don't need to have tefillah. Okay, so I have an example of this. I'm in my house. You have a challah tray, okay, and it's got these decorative metal and glass pieces going around the edges of it. Okay, the challah tray is completely functional without that. You don't need the metal and glass to make it functional. The tray works perfectly fine. There's nothing different about how it functions without that. So that thing does not need tefillah. Okay, now the Ramah finishes out a kli hamasukah be seder shel barzel, but if a kli that's made of made with screws, pegs of iron, ubalei I say this like how you eflush hamas, where you couldn't use it without them, and the hemi b'fnim, they're on the inside, meaning that they touch the food, then sarach tefillah. Okay, then needs to have tefillah. Okay, so Ramah had a lot of cases. We'll see if we get this explained all tomorrow. Okay, so the Let's do one Gemara first. There's one, not like a line of Gemara that these dinim are hanging on. And so like this. We mentioned this Gemara. The Gemara says, money to kunya. They're ceramic dishes that are coated with steel, with iron. With lead. So the Gemara says this is the chayv in tefillah. The one has a suffix. Should we look at it? Soifar or tchilosay? The beginning of it is the cheres. The soifar, the end of it is lead. So the Gemara says it's chayv in tefillah. Okay? It's pretty straightforward. And that din was brought in Halacha Aleph. The Mechaber says, "Kelam tzum ba'avar mibafnim tzarach tefillah." I skip some words. Tzarach tefillah. Okay, you have to tell me. I skip some words. Now the Ramah doesn't agree with it. The Ramah says something different over there. That's for next time. Okay, what the Ramah says, we're leaving for now. Okay, but the Mechaber there brings that Gemara that if it has two layers and the outer layer, the one that touches the food, is made out of lead, then you chayv in tefillah. Okay, the exact opposite of that. The opposite, or in my mind, the opposite of that is what the Ramah said, the case of a clear a made linoi, if it's just there for decorative purposes, it doesn't make the clear any more functional, and even though the metal is touching the food, that's chayv in tefillah. Okay, so we had one example of what the Ramah is talking about is like this. Okay, one example is, I think the name of the company is Kyocera. I might be saying that. I might be confusing with a different one. Who makes ceramic knives. Okay, there's a whole industry of people who make ceramic knives. What? No, you probably haven't. It's very, very fancy.
It's called for cutting.
It's very pointy.
Cutting scissors.
Because?
You're not supposed to use brass.
Whoa, okay, I never thought of it like that, but the point of it is because it's very pointy, it's very sharp, and stays sharp, and it's a really good knife. It's not good for everything, but it's good for lots of things, okay, it seems it's a great knife. Okay, there's a problem, nothing to do with us, the problem is that you could take it through a metal detector, and you wouldn't get caught. Okay, so in order to save all the rest of us, the companies, or many of the companies who make those knives, put in a metal strip into the material, into what they make, just so that it'll be caught in a metal detector. Okay? Just to prevent, for security reasons, people shouldn't be able to take them onto a plane, or if they that, what do you say? No, you can't make your own. This is not a make this at home kind of thing. No, this is a very sophisticated process. This is not like for everyday kind of people. So they put it, so over there, that's obviously annoying, right? That obviously is not functional. It's not there to make the cleat work any better. Okay?
Well, on the outside, inside. Is that it?
Yeah, you can't see it. No, you wouldn't see it if you could see it. Just
put it on.
That's a side point. That's a side point, but it's okay, that's true, but it's a side point. Okay, now, in the Keurig, in the one part that we're going to talk about the Keurig, the way the internals of the machine work is not important to us, for now.
You would have to tell that knife, right?
You would not have to tell that, right? It's made of Keurig, you don't have to tell that. The Keurig, the insides are not important to us for today, but what happens is, after it boils up water, it's the water goes through a hose, a plastic hose, and then it pokes into the K-cup. I should have brought a K-cup with me. The water goes through the K-cup and drips out the bottom. Okay? How did the water get in out of the K-cup? Is that at the end of that hose, the end of that plastic tubing, there's a tiny needle. You could see it if you look up here. There's a tiny needle on the top that pokes into the top of the K-cup, and then there's another needle on the bottom. It's over here. There's the needle. And there's another needle inside that pokes into the bottom of the K-cup. Okay, and the water then pours through the K-cup. It slowly filters. There's a little filter there. It filters through, and it drips out the bottom. So, that little piece of metal that's there, that little piece of metal is not linoleum. That little piece of metal is tremendously functional. The machine wouldn't work if you weren't able to puncture the top of the K-cup. The water just spill over the place. You need to puncture it just right. So that thing that goes in, that piece of metal is chayv in tefillah. Okay, that piece of metal is what helps you cook your coffee over here. And that piece of metal, because of that piece of metal is chayv in tefillah. Now, we'll see, as you had mentioned before, and we'll see in the future time, that because the piece of metal is chayim tefillah, the plastic hose is chayim tefillah also. Okay, it's considered one kli. We'll talk about that once.
What are the rest of the container?
We're going to talk this part, we're going to talk about a different time. But for this part on the top here with the hose and that pokey part over there, is the needle that pokes in is clearly, it's not linoleum. That's functional. You can't use the machine without it. Okay, so
if so, then the bottom container also should be.
The bottom, the poke, the needle on the bottom.
And what's holding it?
And what's holding it?
Was there anything in the hose? On the top?
Masculine. Okay. I'm not going to complain.
No, that's even more. I mean,
It's a bigger piece to be titled?
Yes.
Okay, but we're going to find that when we talk about the whole main part of the machine, the bulk of the machine, that's, we'll get to more.
What about the reservoir? What's that matter? Where it's boiled?
Not today. It's metal. But not today. Okay.
It's metal.
Okay, we also, I don't remember if we talked about it here, but there's a thing called Julies. I don't know if you remember that thing. I forgot to bring it with me. Okay, so the Julies are metal on the outside. On the inside is a whatever's inside. It's not important what's inside. It's not chayim tefillah what's inside. But what's on the outside is metal. And what's on the outside is chayim tefillah, and it's functional. If you didn't have that outside, the inside wouldn't be able to do what it needs to do, okay, the way they work together. So that's chayim tefillah. We talked about them, that's chayim tefillah. Okay. Okay, now, the next question is like this. We know that in regular din, in our possible hall of Teruvah's kind of shaylas, we have a din of something called a maimed. Okay, maimed means is, if I make cheese, and the rennet was not kosher, then the cheese is treif also. Why is the cheese treif? The rennet is bottle, there's a zillion times as much milk as there is rennet, because the rennet plays such an important role in the making of the cheese, that the maimed can't be bottle. Okay, that's a din for, we know about like a teruvah's kind of a din. Okay. The Gemara says it, le'inyin tumah v'tayr also. Okay, it's a Gemara in Shabbos, and the Gemara says that if you have a kli that's made out of glass, and the glass kli has a hole in it, to the point that it's not a functional kli anymore, it can't hold anything anymore, and you plug up that hole with metal. If you plug up that hole with metal, the kli now has the status of a metal kli, not of a glass kli. It's not important to us what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara has enough gemeinus. Why do we care if it's a metal kli instead of a glass kli? The Gemara says, according to one man, the Yomar, it has a din of a metal kli, because hakol ha'chara maimed, the what's making this into a usable kli is the metal plug, and therefore, it's considered a metal kli. Okay, that's another example of a ha'chara maimed, and the question by us, the Torah brings it, talks about is, well, should we say hakol ha'chara maimed, according to that man, the Yomar, also le'inyin tefilas kelim? What does that mean is, in the barrel that we were talking about, the metal rings that are holding the barrel together, two wooden staves, being held together by a metal ring. Well, if not for the metal rings, there would be no barrel. Of course, the barrel would fall apart. The sticks don't stand together by themselves. Like, you need the metal rings to hold it together. So if not for the metal rings, you wouldn't have any barrel. The Torah says, maybe we should say is, we should follow the maimed. And the maimed, hakoha chachara maimed, means is it should have the din of a metal cleave. We should look at this as a metal barrel, not as a wooden barrel. Okay. So we say is. So what's the din? Okay, so there are different sheets of sharing about that. The Mechaber said is, because we don't care about the maimed. That's what the Mechaber said in the Al-Chavav. Okay? And then in the opposite case, what happened in Al-Chazayin? The opposite case was, you have a metal kli that's held together by wood, that's held together by the wooden frame of it. Then we say also, we don't go past the maimed, we only care about what touches the kli. That's what the Mechaber appears to say. Okay? What does the Rambam hold about that then? So the Gra has a diuk. The Gra has a diuk that the Rama holds like the Mechaber also. Okay? The Gra's diuk is like this. The Mechaber just said that. The Gra says, the Mechaber says, if you have a Koyshal Kesef, Mechuber Bekli Eitz. Okay? What's the Mechaber talking about when he says that case? Koyshal Kesef, Mechuber Bekli Eitz. So the reading, if you read the Beis Yosef, and you read the place until you got to this page, you would say is, it's the opposite of the previous case. It's a metal kli, and the metal kli would not be held together if not for the wood that supports, that holds it together. Just like in the wooden barrel that's held together by the metal, it wouldn't work if not that the metal was holding it. The kaisha kesem mechuber b'kli eitz means, it's mechuber, means it's held together with wooden supports around the edges of it. Okay, the Shah, I'll tell you in a second, holds a snapshot. He holds a kosher kesef means is, it's a fully functional cup. It's a fully, perfectly good metal cup that could stand by itself. It happens to be that there's wood around the edges of it, but the metal is completely functional without that. Okay, it's not a case of a maimed. Okay? So the Gemara says, which way does the Rama read that din? So listen to what the Rama says afterwards. The Rama says, V'chein, just like the Rama says, V'chein, Rechaim shall pilpul and shall besercha etzich spires of kavua. You have a wooden spice grinder, a wooden pepper mill, that inside of it, it's got a metal thing that you use to grind it, has the same thing as what we just said. Okay, well, what's the metal grinder that's inside of this wooden bowl? Okay, the metal grinder is completely worthless. If not for the wood, you can't grind unless you grind against something. Okay, when you grind, it's one thing rubbing against and sandwiching the pepper in between the two things. That's what does the grinding.
Unless it's metal against metal.
Yeah, unless it's
metal
gears,
metal twins. Okay, it's eight is the outside, the outer side, and the bars are on the inside. Okay, that's why it's
maybe it's the sketch. Yeah. You get these two metal rolls.
So no, it's actually not, because there the place that specifically the thing that catches is not chayv and tefillah. Okay. That's not considered the kli. No, but there's nothing to say. Then the top is completely metal. Of course, it's chayv and tefillah.
Inside, it's completely wooden, but there's two metal pieces inside. Shabbat hidden inside the wooden container.
Okay,
is metal pieces.
Is two metal pieces rubbing against each other. Okay, so then what's the question of the chayv and tefillah? No, that's not v'chein. That's not a continuation of the previous case. That has nothing to do with the previous case. It's stam. If you have a metal kli, it's chayv and tefillah. There's nothing, because there's wood on the outside, in the general.
It's catching all the
thing. Okay, the rug didn't read like that. Okay, I don't remember back, this comes from a Issa v'het. I don't remember if it's more clear over there that was the case. But he's reading the case was, that the Rama holds that the case was, the metal is rubbing against wood, and the reason why it's v'chein is because it's the same kind of a case where the metal does more bites. Okay. The problem with what I told you, that the Machaber says this is because if you open up the Torah, you see that the Beis Yosef talks about these different shitas, and he paskins in the end that we are choshesh for the maimed. Choshesh means choshesh lahachmir, to be choshesh for the maimed. That the maimed, if you have a wooden barrel with metal staves around it, you're choshesh for the maimed, and you say, maybe we should treat it like a metal kli. If we treat it like a metal kli, then it's chayav in tefillah. So he says, do tefillah without bracha. Because choshesh, maybe we should follow the maimed. Rishonim would say like this, but Beis Yosef at the end concludes,
you have to tell the barrel of chumrah.
Yes, and then he says the opposite case. What happens if the inside is metal bars held together by wood? Then you have to be choshesh that we follow the ma'amid, and it is also chayvin. It's also chayvin without a bracha. You don't make a bracha because you want to be choshesh for the ma'amid in that case. Okay, so the Shach says, he says, what's going on over here? And the Beis Yosef, we should follow this sheet there that says that you should be choshesh for the ma'amid in both cases. So what happened over here? The Machaber sure didn't say that. So the Shach says, I don't know what to tell you, but I don't know why he's saying this, because in the Beis Yosef he told you that's not what the din is. The Shulchan is supposed to be a summary of what it says in the Beis Yosef. He says, I don't know what to tell you. In the Beis Yosef he says, not like that. Okay, so the Gros says, the Paragel, many people say it, they say, he was Chayzer. Okay, he changed his mind, because you look over there, it's pretty clear that he holds it. You've Chayzer for the moment, come to over here, and he says, it seems pretty straightforward, that he's not being concerned about it. No, he says, the cases that everyone's been talking about, he says, you're not Chayzer for the moment. Okay, so the Shach says you should be choshesh. He brings others. The Shach brings others who think like that also, and the Shach says you should be choshesh for the maimed. Both cases of chumrah. If there's wood on the inside and metal on the outside, the metal is the maimed, the barrel. You should be choshesh for the maimed and toivel it without a bracha. And the opposite case also, you should toivel it but not with a bracha. Okay. Now the second case is the harder one to understand conceptually. To understand the second one, which is. Have a metal, imagine a barrel, okay, I don't know what you're thinking about, the metal staves hit together with wood on the outside, okay? We'll think of a case. Metal on the inside and wood on the outside. So we say we follow, we say, HaKol HaKachar HaMayimin, and it's considered a wooden kli, so it's not Chayim Tefillah. We're being cautious for that, chief, and saying it's not Chayim Tefillah, therefore we don't make a bracha. Where's the logic of that? It's also a metal kli. The wood is a maimed, but the metal is also a maimed.
So we have a maimed in the Gemara. We have a clue with a hole in it,
mm-hmm.
and then you fill it with a material that's chayav in tefillah, right?
So what's it in?
The rest of the clue is also a maimed. You plug the little holes, that's right.
So we say that the maimed is so important that we pretend as if the whole clue follows the maimed. So to speak, l'chomra, we're saying it is even like that kind of a kli. It's considered, that's so important that the metal plug in the kli, that's considered a metal kli. But over here we're saying is, here's the part that's metal, is the part that's metal is the part that touches the food. How can we ignore that? The people who would say, we should be and follow the wood on the outside. Well, what about the metal on the inside?
in a cup. When you got a hole, it's a cup, it's not chayv tefillah.
A glass hole. Yeah.
You put a piece of metal. So the halacha is you chayv tefillah.
Well, in that case, the question is how to title. Okay, it's treated like a metal cleat.
And you chayv tefillah with a bracha.
Chayv, it treated like a metal cleat. Yeah.
Okay. So what's the what do you mean? The rest of the cleat inside and outside.
Okay. So
whatever it was.
So it's actually in that case. What? In that case, it's a little different. I'm not trying to answer your question. I'm not answering.
That's the time. That's the fact that I had a hole and became waste clean.
Right.
Correct.
In that case, it was useless until I put the metal into here. Okay. So the metal is so important that it takes on the status of the whole clean. It was a broken clean. What makes it into a clean was the metal. But over here,
if I got another hole and I thought that was wood, then I
don't know what the answer is that case. But in this case, it's true that the wood made into a clean. But it's true that the metal was made into a clean. I we can ignore the metal. They did it together. How can we ignore the metal? So over here we're saying is we're going to ignore the metal to the point that some will hold, you don't have to do tefillah at all. I'm saying we're being machmir. We're being choshesh for that sheet, so we're saying do tefillah without a bracha. So we're like safe. We're doing both. We're being tefillah but without a bracha. But we're being choshesh for a sheet that says is don't do tefillah at all. Because the hakol ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha- the minded, but the metal is also, so to speak, the minded. They're the equal minded. So why do you not follow the minded? So I'm not sure the answer is. There's a mashmois in the Taz that maybe what it means is that we have a funny situation over here. The words of the Gemara are hakol ha'achar maimed. The maimed takes on the whole status of the kli. So maybe, I don't know if this is possible to say, to be conceptual to say, is that we look at the kli as being 100% wood and 100% metal. But what's the din of a kli? It's 100% wood and 100% metal. So maybe it's not chayim tefillah. And it's not 100% wood and it's 100% metal, which of course makes no sense. It can't be 100% and 100%, but it's both metal kli and a wooden kli. So off the metal shabbat it's chayv, the wood is not chayv. So overall, it's not chayv.
It's not
a
kli. A kli is every situation.
No, it means hakol. The whole kli is given. No, the kli is given
every
the status.
If you want to determine the status of a kli,
yeah. No, that's not what it means. That's not what it means. No, it means the whole kli has the status of the maimed. Of course. Okay, anyway. Okay, so
maybe what we're looking at is like, since the kli, it started off being metal, put the metal in place, now it's useless. The metal's here already, but it's not good. I can't have a barrel like that. It's not going to last. It's worthless.
You mean,
I put the wood around it, and now I made it a kli.
The metal,
it's like a metal kli that had a hole in it.
Okay, so you're saying that the metal is like, temporarily, you'll stand up on my table.
It's like
standing.
It's like standing.
No, in my mind, it doesn't do anything. It's sort of standing there by itself, but it's not really helpful. And the wood is what got it finished.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe.
And the wood being the cup of clay that had two holes in it, and I filled them both at the same time, one with a metal plug, one with a wooden plug.
I don't know. Same question. Okay. Anyhow, so this is the simple reading of the Mechaber and the way the Groth thinks that the Ramah means, and the Groth says that this is what the Mechaber means and the Berak Gilel, and lots of people say it is, that the Mechaber was chayshish what he said in the face. And he's not chayshish from Maimon, not at all. Completely not chayshish from Maimon. It only depends on the way the Groth says it is. The Groth says it, says, in Hilchos Tumah V'Taira, we depend on what the Ikar of the Kli is, what the base of the Kli is. For these kind of things, all we care about is what touches the food. If what touches the food is chayv and teal, it's chayv and teal. Not chayv and teal. Okay, that's what the Gross is, and others. And the Shach says, I want to tell you, look at the Beisayisit, and that's not the din, and the din is b'choshesh l'hachmir, to be choshesh l'maimik in both directions. The Chacham says, he doesn't say in as many words as I'm about to say it, but basically he means the Shach. Okay, the Chacham says, that the din is you should be always machmir for the maimon in both directions. Okay, tefillah without a bracha in both directions. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, he says, as I want to tell you, he says the minhag is not like that. He has examples of things that people had in his days. He says no one tables these things because we're not chayshish for the maimon. Okay, so I don't know what the din is. I don't really know what to say about officially what the din is. But if we think about it, you have to just pause for a second and say, what shayla are we talking about? Harder to me, it sounds like we're talking about a shayla with the Rabbanan. Okay, maimed is always at the Rabbanan. So, if we're saying that maybe we should be choshish for the maimed, means that even if those who are showing them, seemingly, let's say, in the case we have a wooden barrel with metal around the outsides, why would it be chayim tzil? It won't be chayim, seemingly, only chayim tzil with the Rabbanan, because choshish for maimed in all the cases we know that are always the Rabbanan tikkudin. So, here we have a shayla and a Rabbanan. We're not talking about a shayla with the rice, it's chayim tzil because it's metal. It's chayim tzil. No, I'm just thinking. I don't know if that's the answer. I'm just thinking that seemingly it seems like to be a tough one, which we would say then we have a shiloh place committee. We would say the mechaber sure seems to say that with nachlish shlomaymit, and we would say savdavon lekula. Okay, that's what I would think. Now lekula doesn't always mean the same thing. Lekula sometimes means is tefila. It always means to do tefila, but sometimes it means don't make a bracha. I'm not sure. Again, the chacham says you should do like the Shach says, and the Aruch Hashulchan says no, that's not the meaning like that. Okay, next time we're going to find out even more how much that's a get. Okay, but for today, to talk about how it's a get to our situation like this, the Rama talked about Rechayim Shel Pilpulin, a pepper mill, and Kinderet, why everybody keeps talking about pepper mills, and in fact you see that's what they sell. Lots of the things that grind themselves with pepper, because freshly ground pepper seems to taste really good. Much better than, you know, pepper that was ground 5 years ago. So there's a few parts to the question. The pepper mill that the Maramos is talking about is a real one. It's a permanent one. You buy a pepper mill and you put your spices in and you grind them up and you want to eat them. Okay? There's a whole industry now of disposable pepper mill, disposable mills. Okay? You can buy fresh and you can freshly grind your spices right when you're about to eat them. The way the Shiloh first started, I came across it was because people wanted to get hashkacha on their spices, and of course the spices were easy to give hashkacha to, but then they noticed that they're being sold in these disposable mills, and the Shiloh was of the chayivin tefila, meaning is the consumer who buys them chayiv to title them, in which case if the consumer is chayiv to title them, how can we just put a hechsher on it and say this is a kosher product when you consumer are going to be using this thing that's chayivin tefila? Okay, now, you can't see piss in the curing. Okay, so the first thing I have to just mention is we're not talking about this today. This is for a future time, which is you can move the toys. You can see the other ones. If I buy a bottle of a bottle of Snapple, okay, so a bottle of Snapple is a glass bottle also. So that's once I buy the kli, it's also the chayim tefila. We're going to talk about that in the future. And the simple answer we're going to talk about today is the fact that it's in a glass kli, you're allowed to empty it out. We'll say that the simple way is you can empty it out, and you don't have to empty it out so quickly.
I think there is a sheet that says you got to empty your drink.
We're not talking about that today. So we're going to work on an assumption.
Imagine
there are multiple explanations for why we shouldn't have to. We're going to work on the assumption that the fact that it's in a glass container is itself not what's chayim tefila. The shaila for us is because I'm grinding it. Okay, I'm not just emptying it out. I'm using the grinder that's on the top there. Okay, so it's not like a regular glass bottle. We have companies sell stuff in glass and metal all the time. We don't think you have to be titled when the person's going to buy it. We don't worry about that part of it. But here it's more complicated because I'm using the grinder on the top of it. Okay, so now the truth is that this.
It would be a problem. You have to title instead. Somebody around you can't get the food out. You can't get it out.
Okay, so the
if soggy pepper.
the simplest is okay. So I'm going to address you right away. I'm sorry. Some of the companies are nice and they make them that you can open them. Okay, that's the truth. Some of them make it that you can open it because they want to make it easy for you. You can refill and put more stuff in. Of course, the other guys want you to keep on buying their things, so they don't make it like that. But thanks to the wonders of the internet, you can find instructions of how to get them open. Okay, yeah, you can. You can all different ways. Now, some of them, when you get them open, you're not going to have any spices left. That's true. But if you held it, you chayiv in tefila, you could open it up, title it, and put the stuff back into it, or dry it out, and put the stuff back into it, or whatever. Okay, so there are ways to get them open. But lots of them, you can open them up by themselves. Okay, so what it is like this. Some of them are really simple. Okay, this one is from Target. Okay, this one is Target. If you look at it, you'll see. You can't see so perfectly, but if the senior doctor, they make it tell you, these are completely placed. This the container's placing, actually. The Target guys are the container's placing, as is the cover. And this one, this is a really unusual one.
So that's a grinder that you could, they do let you open it.
This one, you have to fight with it a little bit. That one wasn't hard to open. The guy in the store told me, he says, in ours you can open them up. It wasn't so easy. They didn't make it so easy. But yes, you can open it up. But that one's completely placed.
But that's for sure not tight.
There's no question. There's nothing you have to even dream of being high and clear.
You only know how to open it and take it apart.
I'm telling you that one happens to be placed, okay? And this one, this is a McCormick one. I like this bike just because I like the smell. This one was a lot harder to get open. This is not meant to open up. And this one is also completely placed, okay? If you try to just keep the covers next to the pieces, they stay together. Okay. Then there's a whole bunch that I found. that are also completely plastic. Okay, these were of varying degrees of how hard they were to open. Okay, this is the easiest one. This mount meant to unscrew.
I don't want to like that.
This one attempted to unscrew, and it's clear. I mean, you can see right through it, you know, through and through. Okay, and when I looked at this one, which is an exact copy of it, this is the same thing, it's just in black. Okay, and this one's easier to see. They actually both have it. There's a patent on this. Okay, and it turns out that there's one group of people who have like a dozen patents on disposable spice grinders. Okay, they're in the business, okay? And once you realize that, you start seeing that the same people are making a lot of the grinders. Okay, these are identical. This one's easiest to see. I mean, as long as you can see right through it. You can hold up the light, you can see right through this goes here.
Well, that one has to be able to come apart and you have to take it off
right here. Right, well, it goes together. You know, that's, I think this one goes together. Okay, so the same with these I did not open up yet. These look a little different. Okay, almost always are glass, except for these two that at the beginning. Almost always are glass. The bottoms are glass, and the tops are glass. Okay. The only one that I had a shiloh with that I found that had a question to it was the following. I'm going to leave that for a second before I tell you the one that I found that had a question. All of these that I found so far, the bottoms, most of them are glass. The tops are all completely plastic. Okay. When the shiloh first came up many years ago, the shiloh was as follows. I couldn't find one that has the shiloh anymore. Again, the guys who are making this have a zillion patents, and they keep making new ones. And the way the shiloh was like this. And this piece in the middle that turns around, this part here that turns around, had a metal pin running through the center of it. Okay? The metal pin didn't touch the food. That metal pin that was running, that through which you ground, this is not a great example, but it looks like. This one, here's a good one. Okay, this one we actually had to pry open this morning. This cover is meant to come off, but it had this piece that closed it up like that. Okay, the held the grinder together. And in older ones, this piece here was metal. Okay, inside here was steel, but it didn't touch the food. The grinding went on the outside, but the inside, this metal part was metal, was steel, was metal. Aluminum, probably. So was metal on the inside. So the shadow was like this. This is an example. It's an example of the machlokes we're talking about, the machaber and what we'll call the bishayisif, the machaber and the shach. The thing that's doing the tefillah is not chayv in tefillah. The thing that's doing the grinding is not chayv in tefillah. The grinding parts are completely all plastic. There's no parts in there that are chayv in tefillah. There's plastic on all sides of this Himalayan grinder over here. Everything on that touches the food is plastic. But there was a maimed that was metal. If not for the pin that was on the inside, if not for that center shaft that the grinder revolved around, you couldn't do any grinding. It wasn't possible to do any grinding. So it was an exact, that was, the shayla was there was, according to the machaber, no problem. You only care about the parts that touch the food. The fact that there's a mind that's made out of metal doesn't make a difference. And you're not hiding tefillah. The Archon says that would be the minute to follow with that. According to the shach, Kutubei Chachasson says, that thing is hiding tefillah without a bracha. It's chayv in tefillah because the parts that touch the food are not metal, and they're not chayv in tefillah, but they have a mind that center shaft that went through the middle was a mind that was chayv in tefillah. If you're being choshish for the shach, we'll call the Beis Yosef, to say that you have to toil with those things because the mind makes a chayv in tefillah without a bracha, then those things need a tefillah. Okay? So the shaila revolved around that. So is it, can you give hashgacha on a food, on a container like this that's going to be chayv in tefillah? According to one sheet, it's chayv in tefillah. If you want to say like the shach, it's chayv in tefillah without a bracha. Or do you say no, it's not chayv in tefillah because it's just a maimon, and therefore you wouldn't have to tefillah. Okay, that's what the shiloh depends on. How are you going to pass it on that shiloh between the mechaber and we'll call it the gra and the shach? Okay, is going to decide whether you should that thing needs tefillah or not, and the middle whether you should give hashgacha on it.
If it needs tefillah, we can do hashgacha.
Well, the problem is giving tefillah, selling you something and saying my hashgacha is on it and says this is a kosher item means you can use it.
Which is very difficult.
You're going to buy it in your house and you're not going to be able to. Some of them you physically, you'd really have a hard time getting them open. This one you could get open. And some of them, even if you get them open, you wouldn't have a clue that you're supposed to do it. We have to write a whole spiel on it. That's a whole pashka right. I mean, that doesn't fit as neatly as a nice little CRC logo. You know what I mean? It's not so neat. So what we could do is, for that company, say is, I mean, think about McCormick, okay? There's a bunch of these are McCormick ones. McCormick's got a zillion things with hashgacha on it. For the five grinders, they can get a letter that just says, we're not putting a logo onto it. There is no logo onto it. But you have to open it up the following way, and then type it. Theoretically, that could be such a thing, you know? But
or just insist on plastic grinders.
Right, so some of them have plastic. So the last one I'm going to show you in a second. But in those days, when this shiloh first came up, they had this metal shaft in the middle. That what made things complicated. And it's totally on this machlokes how you read what's going on here in the Shulchan Aruch. So we see that the Gra and others that the Mechaber was Chayzer, and you're not the Chayzer for the Maimer, you see that the Shach, then you're Chayzer for the Maimer. Okay, there's another Shita that someone said, which beyond me to understand, so I'm not going to repeat it. Okay, now, the Shaila that we still have, there's one grinder that I found that still has the Shaila. I'll never do this one. It's a McCormick called a sea salt grinder. Okay, this is one of the grinders. This one actually, the base, the container is plastic. Okay, that's good news for you here. And this one was actually not, it was not so hard to get it open, as per the internet, how to get the cover off. But the Shaila is what was going on inside of here. Okay, the insides of here are different than all the rest of these. It's a different style. Okay, so eventually I figured I had to crack this open. And you'll see this is what's going on the inside.
Sure looks like that.
Sure looks, but could I poke around? In fact, in this case, we were successful to find out that in this case, there's a spring. Okay, now, if you look from the bottom, you would have seen the traces of that spring. And what it is that the grinding part is held in place. It's forced into place by a spring. There's a spring pushing it up all the time. So when you turn, it's held into place by the spring. Okay, the spring is what holds it into place. So when I first looked at it, I said, well, it's a maimed. If not the Ramah's example of Linoi, the opposite of maimed, which is just Linoi, is that it could function without it. I said, can't function without this thing. This is what's making the whole thing work. It's not maimed in the traditional sense of, like, you know, holding things up. And actually, this one would be worse because this is touching the food also. Okay, the spices pass by this on the very bottom. You can't see it now, but on the bottom, this actually touches spices. So it's a little, even a drop worse, but
spring touches spices.
If you look, when I put it back together, you'll see that from the other side, the spices pass by the spring. Okay, they don't all touch, but it potentially touches the thing. Okay, it's on the inside. It's on a way that shows. Okay, you'll see it when I put it back together. Okay, so at first I thought that this should be another example, even for today, of an example where we have a problem of a maimed. According to the Shach, you'd have to tell that bracha. But then what I did was I said, okay, I tried it, and I put the thing back together without the spring. I put it together without the spring. Okay, for those of you who are watching during the movie meeting. Okay, I put it together without the spring. Okay, and lo and behold, when I put it together without the spring, it worked perfectly fine. It worked almost as well as it worked with the spring. So it turns out that the spring helps, and the spring is assisting and, you know, making it easier. It grinds a little nicer with the spring, it's more smooth to do the grinding. But it appeared to me that even without the spring, it was working, to the point that it would seemingly qualify what the Rama said, that it could work without it also. But the Rama said that if you need it to work, then it's considered, not a mind, but like, it's not Linoi anymore. It seemed to me like in this case, this spring was not necessary. And you could grind fine. I was actually doing it. I didn't video with them. But I was doing it, and it worked okay without it also. Okay is not even the right word. It worked basically, you know, 90% of its functionality was just fine. You can see it now, I'll show you. You can see the inside of it. That it was working. So it seemed to me that even this one did not need to be titled. But you should know that as I open them, I have 9 of them now. As you open them, lots of them are copies, but lots of them are different. Okay, this one was a really unusual one. So we can't say that all of them don't meet seal. I can't say across the board, unless we get to meet the guys who make all these, my friends here with all the patents, who make it. But the one of all these ones that we saw, it seemed that none of these needed seal. Okay, I can't say that there isn't going to be another one I'm going to find tomorrow, but the way it says now, none of these needed seal.